Today we're studying Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 25, Text 7. Narada Uvacha Popo Prajapati Rajan Pashun Pasyat Dvayat Pare Sangya Pitan Jiva Sanghan Nirgrinena Sahasrasaha. So yesterday, King Parachini Barishat was showing that he had some culture and some respect for sages such as Narada Muni, but Narada Muni wasn't really flattered, as you'll see from this verse. It didn't make him ease off on the message he wanted to give, which is quite a strong one, as you'll see. Because remember that Prachinabarhi Maharaj was actually glorifying persons like Narada Muni who travel and lift people above material existence. But Narada Muni's he's really being a sadhu here. The great Saint Narada said, "O ruler of the citizens, my dear king, please see in the sky those animals which you have sacrificed without compassion and without mercy in the sacrificial arena." So as soon as you show a little bit of receptivity, the sages, the sadhus are ready to cut your material attachment and show you exactly what's going on, even if you glorify them as a matter of etiquette. Please repeat, the great Saint Narada said, "O ruler of the citizens, my dear king, please see in the sky those animals which you have sacrificed without compassion and without mercy in the sacrificial arena." Actually, Prabhupada translated nigrinena, without pity, but in his translation he's like making it even strong. He's saying it twice for emphasis, without compassion and without mercy. So in one sense it could seem a little redundant, but it's actually very forceful. He wants to drive the point home. Purport. By His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Because animal sacrifice is recommended in the Vedas, there are animal sacrifices in almost all religious rituals. However, one should not be satisfied simply by killing animals according to the directions of Scripture. Shivada Gopinath Ki Jai. One should transcend the ritualistic ceremonies and try to understand the actual truth, the purpose of life. Narada Muni wanted to instruct the king about the real purpose of life and invoke a spirit of renunciation in his heart. Knowledge and the spirit of renunciation, jnana vairagya, are the ultimate goal of life. Without knowledge, one cannot become detached from material enjoyment, and without being detached from material enjoyment, one cannot make spiritual advancement. Karmis are generally engaged in sense gratification, and for this end, they are prepared to commit so many sinful activities. Animal sacrifice is but one such sinful activity. Consequently, by his mystic power, Narada Muni showed King Parachini Barishat the dead animals which he had sacrificed. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshur Unmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha. I was born in the darkest of ignorance, and my spiritual master is forced to open my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him. Manchakalpa tarupyascha kripa sindupya evacha patitanan pavanepyo vaishnavepyo namo namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivash Adi Gaur Bhaktavrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So in this purport, Srila Prabhupada is pointing out that even though animal slaughter, according to Vedic ritual, is part of the culture of Vedic life, a civilized way of killing animals, it's still sinful in the sense of the real purpose of life. And there is a reaction also, especially if one tends to get carried away, which one does tend to get carried away. I never really understood this idea of animal. I never really understood it in a sense of how people can do it and be happy doing it. But I don't know how many of you have seen the film Mirabai that's been subtitled by Narasinghananda Prabhu. I mean, usually I'm not so fond of Indian movies because I find them a little bit melodramatic and drawn out. But this one, he managed to cut out all the non-essential parts. And the presentation, any devotee who sees this movie will recognize themselves to some extent in Mirabai. And also, there's one scene where I guess this was to highlight how Vaishnavism and the karma kanda thing is diametrically opposed. There's this one scene where the priest is killing an animal, and he's saying all the mantras, and you see the whole atmosphere is all excited. He even says some of the mantras that we say in our deity worship. And then there comes the point where he raises the sword. And luckily, you know, you see the poor little goat with his, you know, kumkum on his head, and then you see the priest raising the sword. And he just brings it down. And luckily you don't see the head coming off, but you see the blood splashing everywhere. You know, everybody's clothing gets flecked with blood. And there's like a kind of a festive atmosphere. They really enjoyed it. And you know, the assistant priest is looking at the priest who cut off the head of the goat with great admiration. This is something, you know. So then I thought, oh, that's how it works. That's how it works. So this is showing how a very savage aspect, which is intrinsic to conditional life, Prabhupada says meat eating, sex life, intoxication, and gambling are part of conditional life. And then in this particular scene, I could see that somehow or other the Vedic system manages to bring it under some kind of civilized control. It's a goat, the mantras are said, but it's pretty ghastly. And this also reminded me that within myself there is something there that's savage. I've seen it sometimes, very ugly, very nasty. I've seen it, I couldn't run away from it, it's there. It's quite humbling, and it's not nice to see it, but in one sense, once I've seen it in myself, it's hard to get too puffed up for too long because I know it's there. And I've kind of taken that on board as a conditioned soul in this material world. And I'm responsible for the fact that I have it. It's not me, but I've taken it on board. And I guess I've probably done a few of these animal sacrifices myself at some point or another, a few other things that I don't want to even consider. That's one of the reasons why Maya, another word for Maya is mercy. You don't have to remember all of the sinful activities that you've done or that I've done. I don't have to remember because I probably wouldn't be able to continue existing in this life, in this body. I'd probably be too discouraged. And I also remember when I hear about this animal sacrifice, a series of lectures given by Rabindra Sarup Prabhu here in one conference. It was called Sex and Texts, Scriptural Texts. And not only scriptural texts, there were some commentaries on scriptural texts also. And he did at one point in the lecture, address the idea of meat eating and animal slaughter. And he said a very profound statement. He said that animal slaughter is not an unfortunate side effect of meat eating. It is the point. So that was like, we were all like, gasping for breath. And then another devotee, she told me it resonated with her because when she was a little girl, she used to ride with her parents in the car, and she'd be sitting in the back seat, and they'd drive by the lambs, and the parents would be going, mint sauce, mint sauce. And of course, a little girl, she'd go, mint sauce, mint sauce, because apparently it's one of the favorite combinations with lamb is mint sauce. So I remember when I first put together the idea that what's on my plate was a slaughtered animal, it was pretty disturbing. But if you grow up in a culture that just accepts this as normal and even funny at times, it's very uncivilized, this animal slaughter business. Just a little bit of a digression. Remember, I have this kind of fascination sometimes with National Geographic magazines, and we have a few of them in the library. So when I'm really in my more in Maya than usual, I like to look through them. So there was this one magazine in there where a man was following the Eskimos that are still active in their ancient lifestyle of going out and finding the animals on the ice and killing them. So he was with these group of Eskimo men who were going to catch a seal. And they don't use guns, they use other weapons too. So there was this scene where the five or six Eskimos surrounded the seal. And the man was saying the seal looked ridiculous. He was making fun of the seal because the seal was very fearful and was flapping around because a seal on land is not so comfortable. And the Eskimos actually, although their life depended on eating this animal, because that's how they were choosing to maintain their ancient culture, they saw that the animal was so fearful, and they decided not to kill it. Because they'd rather kill the animal quickly without the animal having to undergo so much fear. And the man who was writing it, a civilized man, he said, and they all made this decision and they walked away from the seal as if something very important had just taken place. Something very important had just taken place. These uncivilized savages had proven themselves more civilized than this man who was studying their lifestyle. So anyway, whenever I hear about this animal slaughter and animal sacrifice, I meditate on these things, so don't mind that I got a little bit of a digression here. Just to highlight that this animal slaughter, even if it's an accepted part of either uncivilized or civilized life, it's unacceptable from the viewpoint of Vaishnavism, or even from the viewpoint of any kind of goodness, sattva-guna. In any case, Narada Muni, he's got tactics for dealing with these kind of situations. He's a Shaktivesh avatar who's especially empowered to give bhakti to all different kinds of classes of men. I saw that in the Bhagavatam. I was trying to find it in the folio, but I couldn't quite get the right words. But I remember that when we were studying the incarnations, different incarnations in our Bhakti Vaibhava classes, different incarnations, Shaktivesh avatars and plenary avatars have different powers and aspects of Krishna. And so Narada Muni, he has the special power to teach bhakti to all different classes of men. And you can see he's going here now to teach King Prachinibharishat, who's very much involved with this animal sacrifice in order to gain material enjoyment and influence, and ultimately he wants to go to the heavenly planets, although according to Narada Muni, he doesn't expect him to go there real quick. And I thought it would be interesting also to see how Narada Muni dealt with another animal killer who was much worse. Maybe you know who it is? Much worse than King. Yeah. We had it in the Gurukula, remember? Did you learn it in the Gurukula? McGarry was a wicked, wicked one who half-killed animals just for fun. Did you remember that? Did you learn it in school? He let their little bodies lie up on the ground to slowly die. But by chanting, he became pure. It was Narada Muni he taught him. So I'll just read a little bit of the conversation that took place between McGarry and Narada Muni. Once upon a time, the great Saint Narada, after visiting Lord Narayan in the Vaikunthas, went to Prayag to bathe at the confluence of the three rivers, the Ganges, Jamuna, and Saraswati. Narada Muni saw that a deer was lying on the path through the forest, on the path through the forest, and that it was pierced by an arrow. It had broken legs and was twisting due to much pain. Further ahead, Narada saw a boar pierced by an arrow. Its legs were also broken, and it was also twisting in pain. When he went further, he saw a rabbit that was also suffering. Narada Muni was greatly pained at heart to see living entities suffer so. When Narada Muni advanced further, he saw a hunter behind a tree. This hunter was holding arrows, and he was ready to kill more animals. The hunter's body was blackish. He had reddish eyes, and he appeared fierce. It was as if the superintendent of death, Yamaraj, were standing there with a bow and arrow in his hands. When Narada Muni left the forest path and went to the hunter, all the animals immediately saw him and fled. When all the animals fled, the hunter wanted to chastise Narada with abusive language, but due to Narada's presence, he could not utter anything abusive. So that's the influence of Narada Muni, such a saintly person that even a savage hunter couldn't find it in himself to offend. The hunter then addressed Narada Muni, "O Goswami, O great saintly person, why have you left the general path through the forest to come to me? Simply by seeing you, all the animals I was hunting have now fled." Narada Muni replied, "Leaving the path, I have come to you to settle a doubt that is in my mind. I was wondering whether all the boars and other animals that are half killed belong to you." So he's actually, as you can see, his preaching is so expert. The animals actually don't belong, but he knows that the hunter has claimed them, so he's not going to debate whether they belong to him, and he's just asking him. The hunter replied, "Yes, what you are saying is so." Narada Muni then inquired, "Why did you not kill the animals completely? Why did you half kill them by piercing their bodies with arrows?" The hunter replied, "My dear saintly person, my name is Magrari, enemy of the animals. My father taught me to kill them in that way. When I see half-killed animals suffer, I feel great pleasure." Narada Muni then told the hunter, "I have one thing to beg of you." The hunter replied, "You may take whatever animals or anything else you would like. I have many skins. If you would like them, I shall give you either a deer skin or a tiger skin." Narada Muni said, "I do not want any of the skins. I am asking only one thing from you in charity. I beg you that from this day on, you will kill animals completely and not leave them half dead." The hunter replied, "My dear sir, what are you asking of me? What is wrong with the animals lying there half killed? Will you please explain this to me?" So he actually created some submissiveness in the heart of Magrari. He wasn't even aware that what he was doing was wrong. Narada Muni replied, "If you leave the animals half dead, you are purposefully giving them pain. Therefore, you will have to suffer in their retaliation. My dear hunter, your business is killing animals. That is a slight offense on your part. But when you consciously give them unnecessary pain by leaving them half dead, you incur very great sin. All the animals that you have killed and given unnecessary pain will kill you one after the other in your next life and in life after life." In this way, through the association of the great sage, Narada Muni, the hunter, was a little convinced of his sinful activity. He therefore became somewhat afraid due to his offenses. The hunter then admitted that he was convinced of his sinful activity, and he said, "I have been taught this business from my very childhood. Now I'm wondering how I can become freed from these unlimited volumes of sinful activity. My dear sir, please tell me how I can be relieved from the reactions of my sinful life. Now I fully surrender unto you and fall down at your lotus feet. Please deliver me from sinful reactions." So who remembers what Narada Muni told him? What did he have to do? What was the first thing he had to do? And then he was, of course, like, "Oh." But Narada Muni said, "Just follow my instructions. You asked, and now I'm telling you." And so he did. And then what else did Narada Muni tell him to do?
Chant with
Tulsi. And then the hunter, of course, is wondering, "Well, what am I going to eat?" Narada Muni said, "Don't worry." And because he became a great saint, chanting Hare Krishna along with his wife, in front of Tulsi Devi, all the village people were very impressed, and they were bringing them food. So much food that later on, when Narada Muni came to visit him, he told Narada Muni, please don't let them send me so much food. I don't need so much food. So this is an example of how Narada Muni could transform the heart of a great hunter, and how this animal killing was placed before both the king and the hunter, that the result of this animal killing was suffering. And it's interesting because I had been interviewed by Ananga Gopika, who's doing her thesis on self-suffering and evil in this world. And I'm sure that in more than one of her interviews, the devotees have mentioned their realization that suffering is an impetus to take shelter of Krishna. Krishna says it himself in the Bhagavad Gita. Just like in the college, we learn that when you write something or you make a presentation, the people who are listening to you are thinking, so what? Or what's in it for me? And another devotee, the same devotee that had the mint sauce episode with her parents on a regular basis when she was a little girl, she told me that one of the things that moved her the most in the first lecture that she heard by a Hare Krishna devotee was that the result of animal slaughter is great suffering. It means intense suffering. So from that moment she became a vegetarian. So this is what Narada Muni is doing. He's helping both King Prachinibharishad and the hunter to realize that the result of self-centered activities, and especially the atrocious activity of animal slaughter, is suffering. And then, of course, one wants to be delivered from that suffering. And what is the means of deliverance from suffering? What is the universal method of deliverance from all suffering? Suffering is unavoidable in this world because, first of all, we're suffering from being separated from Krishna, and everything else is just minor compared to that. So what is the method to relieve us from all suffering? To unite with Krishna. Yeah. And that, of course, reminds us, Prabhupada says in the purport, that by uniting with Krishna, he said the goal of life is vairagya, jnana, and knowledge and renunciation. And remember the famous verse, Vasudeva Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janayat Yashi Vairagyam Jnanam Chayat Ahoitikam. By rendering devotional service under the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna, one immediately acquires causeless knowledge and detachment from the world. So we may think, well, I don't feel that I have so much knowledge and detachment, but we certainly have a lot more than we had before we met the devotees. We have a lot more knowledge about the purpose of life, and we're also very detached from many sinful activities that were normal for us before we met the devotees and before we began the practice of Krishna consciousness. Of course, as we practice Krishna consciousness, then all those dark corners in our heart that we weren't even aware of, there's a light that shines and we see there's a lot of contamination there, and that makes us anxious, and that's good. That's good. We should be anxious. We're not looking for mukti. We're looking for the kind of anxiety that will transform into a very intense anxiety to please Krishna, to please Krishna's devotees, and to act in a way that's satisfying to the spiritual master. That's an intense anxiety that brings about a great transformation in the heart of a conditioned soul. That was told to Narada Muni when he first saw Krishna. When he was a maidservant, the son of a maidservant, he was meditating and Krishna appeared to him only momentarily. And because Narada Muni was still attached to the mode of goodness, Krishna told him, you won't see me again in this lifetime, but you'll be very anxious to see me, and that anxiety will drive away all your material anxieties. So this is jnana and vairagya, the intense anxiety to serve Krishna. It's a very blissful anxiety, actually. Prabhupada had that. Prabhupada was a driven man. He was driven by an intense anxiety to please Krishna. And he was so, himself, so, Shishirada Gopinath Ki Jai, so elevated and so blissful in his love of Krishna that he just wanted others to have this. He didn't want others to go through the human form of life without having any access to this. So he engaged in sacrifice. We were hearing yesterday from Yananda Maharaj about how sacrifice is what gives real happiness, because it gives happiness to the Lord and it gives happiness to the soul. The soul can't be happy by material enjoyment. So today I took a little time to dwell on how animal slaughter has very terrible reactions for the soul. Of course, what is the worst reaction? There's a verse in the 10th canto, I think it's the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, yes. Who is the only person who can't be attracted to Krishna Katha? Yeah, Pashugna. He's either a killer of animals or a killer of his own soul. And remember one time we had a very wonderful devotee here named Jai Govinda, and he sat down and he had to give a topical class, and he gave a topical class on this verse, and it was so wonderful. And at the end he told us that before he joined he was a butcher. It was such an intense class. Does anybody remember that class? Was anybody here? It was so profound. You have this glorious Vaishnava sitting in front of you, just glorifying Krishna Katha and the process of Krishna Katha and the mercy of the devotees. So that's the worst part of animal slaughter, is that it doesn't allow for one to be attracted to Krishna. But of course, Lord Chaitanya is so merciful that he's even breaking through this. And we heard about Magrari, and how Narada Muni revealed to him the means to become freed from this terrible habit and its results. And that, of course, that is devotional service, which gives knowledge and renunciation. So thank you for listening patiently. If anybody has any comments, corrections. Serving the cow. Where is that mentioned? Bhanuswami. Oh, very interesting. Yeah, especially the sinful reaction of animal slaughter, and then if one serves the cow. I mean, I guess because I was raised near in the country, but my mother was always, we didn't have cows, the neighbors had cows, and she was always afraid that I was going to get stomped under the feet. So she would tell me, if you go in the field, she's going to stomp on you, and you're going to, I'm still afraid of them. because I'd have nightmares of cows stomping me. So unfortunate, what a sinful birth, that the cow, who is our mother, who's so gentle, is an object of fear. And then I guess that's why people feel justified in killing them and eating them. It's just very unfortunate. Yes, Prabhu?
I recall that I was preaching to high school girls in Brussels in the mid-80s, and the teacher of this group of girls was vegetarian. She took them first to the slaughterhouse.
Wow.
After that, she took me to the Hare Krishna. So I was asked to do the class in vegetarianism.
Yeah.
So after the class, three girls approached me and they told me, we have decided, all three of us, we have decided to become vegetarians because it was horrible, this one. And your class really convinced us.
Yeah.
Now we become, we're 100% convinced.
Yeah. It seems that one very effective means of helping people to know the importance of vegetarianism, because even if a person is very conditioned to eating meat, some people are not even moved by going to a slaughterhouse. But if somehow they can be convinced that they're the next one in the slaughterhouse, it's very effective. If somehow that can get through to them. It has to come very close to home. It's like, In French, they have this expression that la couteau sous la gorge, when the knife is on the throat. When you have the knife on your throat, then you can do what you couldn't do before. So that's quite literal. When you feel that as a person who's stuck in a bad habit, and especially meat eating, it's literal. La couteau sous la gorge. Jai. So we're going to hear more now. First of all, Narada Muni's prepping King Prachini Barishat in a very specific way to make him even more receptive to the knowledge of bhakti yoga, how liberating and uplifting it is. And then he's going to tell him the story of King Puranjana, which is a very, very intense story. So thank you very much for listening patiently, for your contributions. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Prabhupada Nugas ki jai.